Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton here with you this afternoon. Lee Cantor and Katie Galley are on walkabout or out getting a suntan or something, but I'm here in the salt mines getting it done for you. This is going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast CEO with True Office Learning, Miss Neha Gupta. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we are delighted. I've been looking forward to this conversation for some time. As many of our listeners know, the last time I had anything close to a real job, it was in the general arena of training, development, learning. So I'm always fascinated by the topic and anxious to learn more. And there's so much that happens and continues to change and evolve in the space. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation. If you would, tell us a little bit about mission, purpose. What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Sure, absolutely. So it's always fun to talk to somebody who has a fondness for training and learning, because I always tell people it's one of the most fundamental human skills. We've cognitively or unconsciously been learning something or the other ever since we were born. Our mission and purpose as a company is really, how do we move learning forward, right? When we're a kid or when you're an early adult, there's so much emphasis society places on you learning and acquiring new skills and developing them and cultivating them. Then you kind of get to the workplace and somehow it all changes. For some reason, everybody assumes if they give you a PowerPoint or a really boring PDF and you read it, that's good enough. So really, our mission and purpose as a business is, how do we make sure that you as an individual and your organization as a company can really produce better and really more powerful results with a very big focus on using the latest and the greatest of technology in learning. So we try and combine that with some measurements, some adaptive learning, a lot of kind of new concepts that are really that have been making headway in the learning space for the last couple of years, and focus on, how do we actually, I jokingly say sometimes, training suck less. So in the adult world. But that's definitely a big part of it. And look, the reason we wake up every day and do what we do is, at the end of the day, the only way to make the world a better place is to teach people the right things to do. So that's what gets us going.
You mentioned adaptive learning. Can you describe for us exactly what that means?
Sure. So, but adaptive learning is actually a very old concept in learning. People don't always just realize it, right? So when you think of an in-person training example or a situation where the instructor sits with you, what they're actually doing in some ways is adapting to what they think you understand, what they think you're actually getting. So they may slow down when they feel like you're lost. They may actually give you more examples when they think you're not getting it. But in topics where you seem to be really grasping the information, they go through very quickly. And that, in a short example, is really what adaptive learning is. How do you tailor the learning journey, the learning content, and the level of challenge you're presenting to the learner based on both who the learner is and what their performance or knowledge level is?
And can you get that done through e-learning? Or, because I can sense, I can see in my head what you're describing is standing in front of a group. Or candidly, I was beginning to draw some parallels from hosting a radio show. Because you can kind of tell whether you're still in there with them or not. But can you do that with e-learning?
You know, now you can, because technology has really done some amazing things, right? I mean, I know we keep hearing the buzzwords around artificial intelligence and machine learning and all these big terms that are floating out there. Big data is another one in the same place. But really, look, at the end of the day, if you think about what the person in front of the audience or what even you and I are doing is, your brain's taking in the visual cues I'm giving you, processing that data and saying, okay, I think she's kind of done. I can go on to the next question, right? It's almost the same thing that we do using technology and system, which is we've designed a learning framework where we ask a couple of questions to actually baseline the user. We try and get a sense, almost the equivalent of walking into the room with somebody for a couple of seconds and saying, they kind of know nothing, or no, they're pretty good. They sort of know where they're going, right? So that we know where to start them off. And what's really important in that journey is to have a software running underneath, which is what sort of our scholar solutions do, that is analyzing every decision the learner makes thereafter, right? So as we put them through situations and simulations and games to try and see, can they actually do the things the business needs them to do? When we start seeing behavior that isn't actually aligned with what the business would have wanted them to do, the software underneath knows to say, oh, nope, they don't really get this. Let me try and give them some information back on how to actually make the right decisions, but then also give them additional situations and scenarios to practice. So technology's gotten very smart. The software can actually read that human behavior or behavioral data and make decisions based on it to serve up different content to them at every step. So everything I do in those training courses actually changes what happens to me next while still taking me through everything that the firm really wants me to go through.
Well, I didn't know it until this conversation, but apparently I'm a real advocate of adaptive learning. That makes all the sense in the world to me. And again, to be perfectly candid, had someone asked me a half hour ago about adaptive learning, and if I had any feel for what it was, I would have, in my mind, I'd have said, you know, you can do e-learning for some stuff, or you can do adaptive learning. And that's just totally wrong.
Yep. That's you know, you're not alone in that. That's the good news. So like, you know, an underlying mission is really helping people become educated about what capabilities technology actually gives us now, right? One of the, I mean, to your point, it's a common sense, right? Why wouldn't you teach people this way?
Right.
But traditionally, until technology had gotten here, there was almost no way to do that without putting a person in front of every person, essentially just looking at them and understanding where are they at individually. So we now tell people, hey, now that technology has gotten where it has, you don't need to stop thinking that humans somehow become these different creatures once they're an adult and how they learn. We always learn pretty much the same way. Cognitively, our brains are wired to learn through play and practice, and that never changes.
Right. All right. So as long as we're crushing all the stones, preconceived notions and assumptions, one of the things that I've always felt like I would like about e-learning and capitalizing on technology is this idea that you can keep up with it, you can track it, you can make some adjustments. Is that still valid? And is that something you guys really put some energy in?
Oh, absolutely, right? So if you think about what we were just talking about with using behavioral data for the machine to make decisions on and for the machine to say, hey, this person knows what they're doing, or no, this person needs a little bit more practice, all of that data is actually being captured. So our solutions actually real-time take in that behavioral data. And in addition, for the software to use it to make its decisions and decide what to show up, we actually take that data in aggregate and do all sorts of fancy analysis and statistical ratios on it to give you back in a very single swatch what the performance trends are. And we call that our IQ solution. So the IQ, because look, let's face it, most people that come out of L&D aren't data scientists. And in our mind, they shouldn't have to be, right? Ideally,
yeah, sure.
The technology should do the work for you and tell you, this is what's actually happening in your population. This is what your people get and what they don't. These are the things you should potentially look at, because here's where they faltered a lot in getting to 100% proficient with the adaptive solution. So that's really what IQ does. It draws up some really quick, easy, pretty pictures. but what's lying underneath those pretty pictures is all the behavioral data that the system is crunching to make the decisions real time for the learner, but really give you insight, right? Because if you think about what happens to business owners all the time, I mean, this used to be me. I used to run a 17,000 people organization prior to doing this. You get into situations where my L&D partners or, you know, compliance, for example, they'll come and ask, what do you want to focus on next year? And I would kind of say, well, you know, this broke at this company. This was in the headlines. Let's talk about this. It's such a spray and pray approach. It's completely reactive. Chances are, if something was in the headlines or something's already the new buzzword, everybody knows about it, right? What you should be doing instead is going, what is it specifically that my population doesn't understand? And the only way you can get there without some anecdotal guess and check or some small focus group kind of survey is, let's actually use the training experience to get that data back and use that to then shape how do we change kind of our business strategy, our investments, and all of our training programs going forward.
So does TrueOffice focus on certain categories or disciplines or industry sectors? Are there some that are like just really in your wheelhouse and that's where you focus?
So that's a great question. Traditionally, because we've had a very large play with large enterprises, we've come out of a lot of risk and compliance work.
Well, that makes sense.
And,
okay.
Right. Yeah, and the reason is just the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you can figure out that here's the population that's very likely to make a mistake and go bribe somebody because they don't even actually realize what a government official entirely is, right? It's worth its weight in gold. So we definitely have a large portfolio of solutions in the compliance and risk space that's sort of the broader corporate compliance. So think anything from sexual harassment, which is the current.
All the rage, right?
All the rage right now. Clearly, we need a lot of help there across the board. All the way out to money laundering or trade regulations and all sorts of sort of really dry, cut and boring. Because adaptive learning can make those topics fun. It can still make them more immersive and you're not really reading the black letter of the law. You're focusing on how to actually apply information to make decisions, right? Because it's all about behaviors and situational learning. So you get into a very different shade of learn by doing. The truth, though, for the adaptive learning framework, and so we do a lot of work as well in leadership development and sort of sales training or like really thought-based behavior change-oriented initiatives, whether that's on change management or decision risk optimizations and all sorts of things. Because the truth is, I could teach you how to make a peanut butter jelly sandwich with the adaptive framework just as well as I could teach you trade regulation.
So, right? Yeah. Well, let me ask how that works. So do you tap into SME subject matter experts from my camp, or do you bring in subject matter experts, or does it just depend on the project?
Yeah. So it depends a little bit on the projects, right? We do in certain areas say we have subject matter expertise, and as a result, we have some standardized solutions, mm-hmm. right? So the risk and compliance areas that I was talking about, for example, we have a whole portfolio of adaptive courses that we call as Pulse. And one of the reasons we offer them up to clients is you can certainly run it to get the appropriate knowledge level on the compliance topic, say it's insider trading, right? And you can get all this rich behavioral insight that tells you what your people really understand, what they don't, why do they think the decisions they're making are the right decisions.
And I can trust that you guys are up to speed on it because you do it.
Exactly.
Right.
And we have, you know, lawyers in-house and folks that really keep an eye on all the trends and legal changes and all of that. But really one of the power of having standardized solutions there is we can also actually provide you benchmarking information. So I could be a firm that can come to you and say, okay, now I understand what my organization's profile on anti-corruption looks like. Can you tell me how does this compare to most of my competitors? Or can you tell me, is my risk, because look, people are never going to be perfect, right? Learning is a continuous journey.
Sure.
It will always be that way. So every firm actually says there's a certain level of risk I know I'm carrying. It's okay, right? I'm going to keep working at it. My goal is always to try and get to 100%, but I know I'm probably today at 80 or 70 or 60 or 85. What becomes very important in that question is, okay, like, but relatively, where am I? Am I better than everybody else?
And I want to know that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So standardized solutions do become very powerful because then I can answer that question in a statistically significant way, right? I can tell you, nope, apples to apples, you versus other people, here's what the journey looks like, right? But for a lot of firms, just because they're either too large or they're using a very esoteric topic, they may say, look, I'm the best subject matter expert. My team knows this better than anybody else. We're the special snowflake. This is the only way it can be done. And we say, okay, fine. That's totally fine as well. So we use their SMEs and our platform. So we actually have an authoring component to the platform where our methodology will transform their subject matter expertise, which can be anything from a PDF to a PowerPoint to just a person talking about their subject matter, because there are people where the knowledge is informal, right?
Sure.
And we have a very sort of paint-by-numbers methodology on how do we take that and transform it into a truly adaptive solution where we feel comfortable backing the statistical sort of saliency of the analytics and the data that it captures and still give them the full end-to-end experience.
Well, you're absolutely singing my song. For one, I think this is good practical information for our listeners to hear, but I'm kind of pointing all of this at myself. It's my show. I get to do that. Here at the Business Radio X Network, my business partner and I, we own the network and we run this studio along with Katie Galley. And we've had a very successful run. We have these five studios, three of them here in Metro Atlanta. We've started to expand and we're kind of hitting that tipping point where, you know, we're probably going to double by the end of the year in number of locations. And so far we've gotten away with, you know, if you really want to join the family, fly up to Atlanta and hang out with us for a few days. And Lee and I'll tell you, you know, some mistakes we've made. But now, and so we do have some subject matter expertise, but we're not, it's the kind of thing you're describing that would be great to go through that structure. Talk to, so now do you work with firms of this size or are you really enterprise and big?
We work with firms of all sizes. You know, where we come from traditionally, just because of the nature of the topics, we tend to work with large enterprises a lot more. So the who's who, so to speak, I think we cater to 20-25% of the Fortune 1000, give or take.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a pretty good distribution. There's not really a particular industry or company size that we play with. I think what is valuable, however, is for us, it is truly about moving learning forward, right? So whether it's a small firm or a large firm, we're actually working on coming up with a solution where we open up our authoring platform for self-authoring. Because example you guys gave just now, for example, you may say, hey, what if I could use your tool or I could do a little bit of like build your, you know, profile kind of thing and actually put down all these things about mistakes we've made and things we want people who are joining the family to know actually down on paper and have it be this living, breathing experience that somebody could go through. One of the reasons we're opening it up is so that our cost model doesn't get in the way of a business like yours, right? Where you're not dependent on our professional services arm to actually, our instructional designers to come in. But just like we've instilled all of that instructor analysis logic into the software, we're actually putting in the transformation logic in the software so that your content can actually become a fully breathing, living, breathing course. Because, you know, it's Business Radio X. So you guys go international. Suddenly you've got people in 40 countries all over the globe flying everybody in for that 1 week is going to start adding up.
Absolutely. and we would like to not experience any more, I don't know, dilution than necessary. We want to protect the integrity of the brand. We want to genuinely serve and we want to be consistent. And Lee and I know a little bit, but, you know, to be able to craft the kind of, I don't know, Business Radio X Academy that I have in my head, we just can't do it. So to have a tool and a strategic resource available to us like this, I'm very enamored with that idea. So we're probably going to talk more off the air.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'd be happy to support. I mean, that's one of the reasons for opening our product line that we're going to be calling Poet.
Poet.
Because it's truly appropriate, right? It's not about architecting a course or it's not about a lecture. It's truly about how do you help somebody match your vision, right? How do you communicate information that matters to you and have people come into that, right?
So. Yeah. So I have 1,001 questions that we're not going to get near any of them. But before I even go back to that pile, what is your backstory? You mentioned briefly about running a large organization. Yes. How does one get to be CEO of a cool company like this?
So the fun story about our business is, truly where they say like it's a small world, it applies to our business more than ever. I actually personally come from a background of all about sort of management, global business strategy. That's been my thing. I've done publishing, nonprofit, obviously technology services. I'm an engineer by background.
You can't hold a job, can you?
I can't at all. You figured it out. That's why this one works for me because it keeps things interesting. TrueOffice actually it was a conceptual technology, became part of a program called the FinTech Innovation Lab. And that's one of the reasons we kind of have such a strong enterprise bent because the FinTech Innovation Lab is basically the Wall Street's 12 largest banks in partnership with Accenture and the Henry Kravis Fund, which is the New York City Investment Fund. Normally for large organizations, it's very difficult to bring in innovation. Right. And that's because they're so bogged down in red tape and infrastructure and this and that. And banks, I say this with a lot of love because I come from financial services, are the weirdest of them all. Right. They have the toughest time integrating sometimes new technologies or converting over because they're so regulated. They have, you know, very globally diverse, sort of spread out infrastructure. I'm sure there are financial services institutions that are still using like a Windows version that none of us remembers. For them, think of this almost as a grooming school, right? Where out of 125, they pick 6 technologies that they felt could be disruptive for their organizations and then actually groomed and coached them up on how to be a part of a large enterprise and how to cater to that. So all this cool stuff that I'm talking to you about behavioral data and adaptive learning and, you know, being able to pinpoint exactly where the risks in your organization are or what the behavior trends are, it all sounds really great. if I am a really large institution, and I'm, say, especially if it's a risk area, say I'm talking about insider trading, I do want to know who doesn't know the information. I don't want you to know. Doesn't know that information, right?
Right.
And I also want the protection that did I do real-time remediation so that somebody isn't going to say, hey, you have a gap sitting there, right? So the adaptive learning does that 100% remediation. They can't get out of one of our solututions until they prove proficiency.
Oh, and having that documentation has got to be paramount for that. I mean, it would be important to me, but it's got to be paramount for that crowd.
It is, right? It's helped them kind of get out of some really tough conversations.
Sure.
Because then you can actually prove, no, your training is working, right? It is actually getting everybody to 100% proficient. And it's kind of fun on the other side because one of the side benefits for these firms is normally traditional training, you tell everybody you're going to be here for 40 minutes, right? And everybody has to sit through the same 40 minutes irrespective of whether they're an expert or whether they're a novice.
Yeah.
Now, when they look at their completion curves, about 50% of the organization saves anywhere between 30 to 50% of the time. Because like anything, you're going to have a bell curve on proficiency and knowledge, mm-hmm. right? So people that actually know what they're doing get out of these solutions faster. People that don't are in there for longer, depending on what parts they don't know. Right. So we never say one of our standardized solutions is a 20-minute solution. We always say, well, it's anywhere between a 13 to 35-minute solution. It's really going to depend on the learner, on where they fall on the completion spectrum. Right. So to your point earlier on just how we got here is for the enterprise, it's really important to design this in a way that's extremely secure, right? That the data integrity, how information is being passed around, we're completely LMS agnostic. Sounds like big words, but essentially just large enterprises use a learning management system to dole out all their learning.
And they're not going to change that for you, or they're not going to want to.
Never, right? And if they had to go build something in there, the amount of time it takes to prioritize a project in a large enterprise is insane. So our CTO always says this, like he built an army jeep, right? It should work out of anywhere.
Right,
falls
right.
in the dirt, oh, roll great. It over, drive it over. Like it's all fine, right? So for us, that FinTech Innovation Lab was a really good testbed, if you will, for testing with some of the most difficult organizations in the world, right? And I actually was at that time part of Citigroup. So that is where, as part of their institutional technology business, I was overseeing a bunch of their functions, including reporting on regulatory alignment and all of that. And TruOffice was one of our mentee companies, actually. So about a year out after that, I actually came on board to TruOffice to take it to the next step, and the rest is history.
What a wonderful story. What's your favorite part? What do you like most?
So it's interesting. The part I like most, honestly, one is the aha moments. And it's fun to see that with our customers, because when they go live with one of our solutions the first time and they kind of get data back, it's like you could see the eyes go wide at certain points, because you're either dispelling myths that the organization always had about itself, or you're making them really happy about something, right? Like one or the other. But you really see them kind of, because look, I say this with a lot of love, being an L&D person in today's day and age of distraction is not fun. Everybody's attention span's 10 seconds long.
Yeah.
And nobody, even though they recognize learning is important, people are tired because firms have been teaching them stuff through PowerPoint or a long video that you just put on the second screen and you wait till it's done talking and then you click next.
Right.
You get to the 10 question quiz and you know you guess randomly till you get it all right and you get out, right? So for them, it's a really big challenge. So it's really fun to see when they say, no, we rolled that out. That was one of the quietest rollouts we've had. Or that, you know, we really did get very favorable response. One of my favorite stories in that is somebody, because they're like, you know, anytime we roll anything out, we get complaints of, you know, why do we have to do this? Is it really required?
Yeah.
And they said, you know, it was literally water cooler talk. Somebody goes, did you take that course? I couldn't believe it. It took me like 30 minutes to get out of that thing. What a pain. He goes, the other employee goes, really? It took me like 11. And he's like, I wish I had a camera.
Oh, that would have been great.
Because I would have captured that. So it's definitely fun to see customers experience that transformation, because we deeply believe that's, you know, it's almost like going back to the basics a little bit. But the other thing that I really enjoy is we truly as an organization sort of march to the same drumbeat, right? So it's very satisfying to see instructional designers, engineers, graphic designers, people from different passions kind of come in and say, oh my God, there is really a better way to do this. let's actually go now and spread that to really disrupt and kind of change what should be the common standard.
And to pull off what you're doing, the depth and breadth of what you're bringing to the client, you need contribution from all of those areas of expertise, all of those people.
Absolutely. Because when interdependent, you know, we've made the journey simple, right? Of how do you create a course or how do you deploy one of these? But in order to keep it so simple for the end user, there's a lot of complexity that has to be hidden.
That's the paradox, right?
Yeah. And that's the work that all our teams really pull together and just do an incredible job of, right? But it's very satisfying because a custom solution, like, for example, where we're talking about, you know, SMEs are giving in their own input. Traditionally, if you do that, because the process is a very manual, handheld process, even to make a very traditional linear course, you're talking about anywhere between 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Right. And for us, that journey is as short as 6 to 12 weeks. It just depends on how much time the customer wants to take to review stuff.
Wow.
And so technology can open a lot of doors. I know it does that today with all our devices and, you know, having the world at our fingertips. It's really high time that learning, stop being stuck in the 80s. So.
Well, and with all this power at our disposal, itself, I guess, is neutral. It's not good or evil, but like something as powerful a medium as video, for example, I have personally, and I'm sure many of our listeners have seen it used not to its greatest advantage. But you guys, I think you guys have cracked the code on how to leverage video toward these objectives. Having it
correct because it's a part of it, right? You can still very much use video. But you have to force the learner to not just sit back and watch.
Yeah.
After that, you have to have an immediate lean in kinesthetic or learn by doing, as that's called, experience for the learner. So they have to make some decisions on what they just watched, right? Because that's ultimately how, if you think about the last 10 things you remember, the things you did, you remember like 90% of them. The things you just read somewhere, research shows you remember about 10% of them.
Oh, I read a lot of great stuff that I just never seem to get done, right?
And that happens to all of us. Because just the way neural pathways work, once we do something, we build muscle memory, right? When we've taken an action, because in order to take an action, we have to process something, we have to think about it, we have to analyze it. The brain has to give signals to something to say, okay, go do this, right? So when you start forcing people to make decisions, this is one of the reasons why games, right? If you look at early education right now, so much of learning is done through games, right? You tell kids to like play this game to learn the ABCs. It's not because that's just fun for kids. It's because actually efficacy-wise, learning by doing
it works better.
It works better. You actually remember more because you build a muscle memory of why you're making certain decisions. Why are you choosing certain things? How are you understanding concepts? And that doesn't change, frankly, whether you're 6 or you're 60. So
the whole sales and marketing thing, and the reason I'm asking is because, again, it's an assumption and maybe it needs to be challenged, but my impression is that the whole training, learning, development world is a very crowded, competitive one. And it occurs to me, you and your organization might have to work through some noise to sit down and have a conversation, even of this caliber, with someone who could make a decision and move something forward in their own organization. How does the whole sales and marketing thing work for a company like yours?
Yeah. So, you know, the sales and marketing aspect, to be very honest, for the last couple of years, we've dominantly grown largely by a combination of word of mouth. So we will have instances where a firm will come in and say, hey, I heard about you at this trade conference from another colleague that was talking about how great this has been for them. And now I'm interested, or I got in trouble and I need to figure something out. So, you know, I want to chat with you. And then we have a great sales team that actually proactively does the job of going out and helping organizations that are seeking to improve their programs do better, right? More recently, we've gotten a little bit better about being a bit more vocal at trade shows and actually letting people know what's possible, right? So I just did a webinar yesterday for a chief learning officer, a group as, e-learning in the age of distraction. It's the truth, right? And it was fascinating to see that, you know, 43% of the folks that were on felt just engaging learners is like their biggest problem, right? 27%, the next biggest problem was measurement. Because you can't manage what you can't measure.
And sure.
The way e-learning has been, the max you can measure is like a quiz score. That ain't telling you anything, right? So it's very, very it's a very powerful place to be where once we can have a conversation, the nature of the conversation is very different, right? But to your point, there is definitely a very focused effort to make sure we're having the right conversations.
Right.
Because we walk into organizations all the time, they go, wait, you guys are basically what I've been talking about as a concept for a long time, right? It's like what you said. Well, I've got at the academy like chalked up in my head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And to be perfectly candid, just e-learning. Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. You know, so I put you in a box, right? Like if we had just met in the hall,
yep.
I'd have just put you in a box,
yep.
Right?
So one of the things we always, you know, when people ask, who are your true competitors? I very jokingly say we don't have one, right? And that's because, yes, we are a company that delivers e-learning. There's no question. But really the intersection we sit at is technology, learning, and analytics, right? So we're really a data analytics company and really a technology software company. Because at the end of the day, yes, the functional outcome we deliver to businesses is they do manage to check the boxes of getting their people trained on the right topics,
right.
And frankly, do it with more efficacy and less time than they would otherwise. But really what we arm the companies with is insight. Right. It's the behavioral data on their people.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. We had, I don't know if it was an actual data scientist or someone who was just really like me, enamored with the whole idea of having data scientists in your circle in some way. And what it did for me, it helped me begin to understand a little bit the distinction between having the information and understanding what it might mean. So this is something else. You guys, this is right in your...
It is, yeah. Right? That's one of the reasons why we kind of have three very distinct product sets, right? So Poet is the authoring side of the world, which is to help people enable and be more self-service and being able to create one of these.
But it democratizes, right? This kind of thing so somebody like our little business can get a real leg
exactly,
up.
Exactly.
I love
right?
it.
That academy can actually live in real flesh and blood. The second is our learning framework, which we call a Scholar, right? And so Pulse is the compliance portfolio underneath it. But really, the Scholar solutions are the actual software that goes through the journey of going through each learner's profile, performance, giving that dynamic experience all within one course package, where five of you could take the same course, but your learning journeys would be different.
You'd like still the learn one at the water things. Cooler.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You'd still come out learning the same information, but how you get to that 100% mark will be personal to each of you. And then the third component is kind of what you were just talking about with data is what we call as our IQ solutions. So a lot of people asked us like, wait, why don't you just give people the data in an Excel or... You know, why not let them use some existing sort of business analytics tool? And our short answer has always been, one, security, data security is a big issue. And large firms don't want their data flying around to other cloud servers and all that kind of stuff. But more than that, so we've kind of cracked the code on that, on how to not let personal data leave firewall, but still be able to do a lot of fancy things with that data. But it comes down as simply to is if it's not one click, for you to be able to know what the information is telling you, having the information is useless.
Right? Yeah.
And so analytics, just like e-learning, is a very misused word. Analytics can be anything. How much time I spend in the screen, how many times I flick my finger, how many times I move my mouse. Technically, it's all analytics,
mm-hmm.
right? So a lot of people can say, oh no, yeah, we do e-learning with analytics, right? And that's why I always say, it's not about analytics, it's about insight, right? What can you tell
Inside.
Me about things I didn't know before that allow me to make decisions I couldn't make before? And that's really what we're about.
You mentioned trade shows a little earlier in the conversation, and I'm so glad you did, because before we wrap, I wanted to ask about a phrase or a topic or a label. We were doing a remote broadcast, and it's been in this past year. And it was in kind of where there were a lot of training, learning development folks at this one. And I kept hearing the phrase micro-learning. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. That's one of the latest buzzwords in the world of e-learning.
Yeah.
It's not entirely wrong, right? So the concept of micro-learning is very simple. It's actually one of the touted about ways to combat the sort of age of distraction we're living under, right? Because attention spans are shortening by the minute, literally, right? Micro-learning is just how do you take large concepts, break them down into really small bites and drip on people, bite, 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 bite. So a micro learning experience could be a 1 minute experience or a 3 minute experience.
And there's value in your experience, or you feel like, or you have opinions about all of it in a 1 minute thingy.
So you can't teach a lot in a 1 minute thingy. The hope is that if it's just micro learning, the hope is because it's short, you may still get a higher retention than a 30 minute where somebody checks out after 20, right? The thing they're forgetting in both of those instances is it's not about the length of the time. It's about the method of training, right? Uh-huh. You could be in a 30-minute experience, but if it's a lean-in experience where you can't keep going unless you're actively making decisions every second of the way and you're learning by doing, you're still engaged. You're still learning because your brain is actively having to do something.
Right.
Now, whether you give me a 1-minute video or a 5-minute video, if it's a video I'm going to put on the second screen and just wait till it's done... Length is irrelevant. I'm not learning anything, right? So micro learning, if it's done right and built into an effective system where you say you take that 30-minute course and you say, okay, every month I'm going to give you 5 minutes of that 30 minutes, right? Every month you're going to focus on one core concept, learn it, digest it, and then keep moving. And the way I'm teaching you that concept is a kinesthetic or interactive concept where you're learning by doing. I'll still be able to see some data and trends to see, did you actually learn what I wanted you to learn? Then yes. Is it effective? Yes. You'll find that it reduces fatigue. It makes people happier because it feels like a coffee break, right? It doesn't feel like this external thing you have to do stepping out of your workday.
Right.
But unfortunately, that's not quite how it's being implemented. So most of the learning industry is going like, okay, let's just make it shorter.
Right.
Like,
let's just focus on the micro part.
I'm like, guys, that's not going to help, right? Yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, we often say, which is it's not about training. It's about learning, right? There's a reason we are not a training company. We are a learning company. And that is important. So microlearning is, the foundations of what lies behind the idea is all cognitively correct. It still doesn't change the fact that you have to solve the real problem, which is what is the method you're actually engaging the user? Doesn't matter for what time.
So what's next for you and True Office? Anything that you can share with us where you're going to be focusing your energy and effort over the next 6, 8, 10 months?
Absolutely. So one of the biggest things as we've started working with enterprises that we get asked all the time is like, hey, I use you for risk. I use you for this. I use you for that. It would be so exciting to be able to use you guys for other stuff within my firm. And in the past, we kind of took a much more narrow approach and sort of said, right now we're kind of just playing in this arena. Over the next 6 to 8 months, we're actually opening up the aperture and letting customers truly use the learning framework and new companies as well, use the framework to really focus on whatever their business objectives are. So if you think of some of the areas where this type of data-driven learning, anything from, we had one customer want to assess who's high potential in their organization, right? Or how do you see people you want to recruit if they're a good fit or not before you actually fly them in and bring them in for an interview? You're doing sales training. You're about to launch a new product. You need to understand who all actually knows the details of the product and is truly certified to sell it. There's so many avenues that allow for both the data analytics that the IQ Insight delivers to you, as well as a Scholar framework from a learning perspective, that we're now over the next 6 to 8 months actually beginning to establish more standardized solutions in some of these alternate areas. Because customers do come to us and say, hey, I'd love to know how am I doing in cybersecurity compared to everybody else? You know, how am I doing in sales performance or customer service or recruitment and HR? So for us, it's more about now taking what we've kind of had a tremendous amount of success and certainly proven the methodology with and really applying it to all the other business problems that organizations face across the board.
All right. Where can our listeners go if they'd like to have a conversation with you or someone on your team about these topics? So whatever you feel like is appropriate, email, LinkedIn, website, whatever.
Sure. So I would encourage you guys to take a look at trueoffice.com. You can actually see some videos. So if all the stuff I talked about sounds like crazy science, it's hard to visualize what that looks like. Feel free to go take a look. There's information there easily. You could get in touch with any of us. We'll be happy to chat. People always say, wow, that sounds a little bit like a Ferrari. Like, can I afford a Ferrari? And I always tell people we're out to build the next mass market car, right? It may drive and sound like a Ferrari, but it's meant to be for everybody because frankly, if we can all learn a little bit faster and better, we'll all be better for it.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
It was a real pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for our guest today, Neha Gupta with True Office Learning, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.